Hey guys, there's been some confusion about whether or not we skipped an episode. And while today's episode says 93, I can promise you it is actually 93. Back on show 88, or is I think it was 88, maybe 98. I don't remember, but we duplicated show numbers 2 weeks in a row, and that was a goof. So really, we should be one further ahead. I've gone back and edited files so that they look good. But if there's any confusion on your end, I just didn't want you guys to worry about it. Go, where's that show 92 I've never heard of? I've renumbered them. They all should be lined up now. And if there was any confusion after that, now I'm telling you, we are on the right number. 93 episodes starting now. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core, a day late because, well, actually 2 days late. I was out of town, got back into town, and then Twitch went down for like half a day. So that was a bummer. So we thought, you know what? We'll do it on Thursday. So here we are doing a show. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. And we are in the midst of a PTR, soon-to-be public, Kel'Thuzad mood. He's out there. He's a lich sort of fellow. Likes to make stuff cold and do dead things. We're very excited about what that means. He is actually on the PTR now. I haven't had time to look at him. I was in California for a week on a vacation thing that meant I didn't have any video game access. And that was a bummer because I missed playing, but it's good to be back. And he's up there and available. You guys have played him. So before we go anywhere else, I want to go through a theory here. That Bo has, or maybe Bo has, that Murky...
No, it's definitely Bo.
Okay.
It's definitely Bo.
All right,
Murky... I thought you were going to say it's definitely not a theory.
Oh.
But okay.
Well, all right. No, I want to hear you out on this. So, sorry, my daughter's dog is eating a Wookiee. Don't eat the Wookiee. Right. So, Bo, Murky... Murky, it says here, is a lich.
Yeah.
I want to... Where do you come up with that idea?
I'll start back at the beginning. No, I won't take that long to explain it. I was thinking about our phylactery talk last week quite a bit, actually, just because, you know, it's a key. A lich is an undead, if I'm not mistaken, mage. Hmm. That's why they're more powerful when they become undead, because they have access to the arcane arts and can do strange things.
Right.
And lich characteristically, although it's fantasy, you can do what you want, but... typically has this phylactery or this device. And in Harry Potter, I don't think he's quite a lich that Voldemort, but he's got these horcruxes. Do I have it right?
Yeah, really he does. He splits his soul basically up into seven pieces and then hides them around the world. But the essence of his power are in these objects. That's correct.
Like the trope is there. So I was kind of actually just thinking about like, it's weird that his trope, and I'm not criticizing Kyle Dates as lead hero designer. He's a great man. He made Genji. He made Zul'jin. And, you know, Kel'Thuzad looks like it's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
I think his trait was weird. Mm. His trait is like, fill this up, now you're more powerful. And I'm like, okay. You know, like, I think out of everything about him is pretty cool. But the trait is very like, really? I fill a bar up? Like, I don't know. Anyways, so I was like, I think the phylactery should have been a key part of his trait, because there could have been some fun mechanics. So I was in the shower, I was cleaning myself, and
every couple days, Bo's got to put the blue fuzz on the soap. Got it. All right, keep going.
Yeah.
So I had this idea that, hey, here would be a fun mechanic.
Hmm.
Let's say you spawn as a phylactery. There's no Kel'Thuzad, and one of your teammates has to pick up the phylactery. So as long as your teammate is holding the phylactery, you get to live. And your teammates can't drop it, but they hold on to it. So as a lich, when you die, like Misha, you get to come back with a reduced timer, but you're not a pet. You're your own hero, but you just respawn near where the phylactery is. So the benefit you get is you get to come back to life very quickly because you have a phylactery. This mechanically represents what the lich is. And I thought, you know, and maybe allies could toss the phylactery. So if Uther's about to die and he's holding the phylactery, he can toss it over to Varian, and then Uther dies, but you don't die. But any hero carrying your phylactery, you die automatically. If you have full health and the guy carrying it dies, you just die too. That would be like a drawback.
Right.
Anyways, I was having a good time in the shower thinking about all this. And then and I realized, I was like, wait a second. This is exactly what Murky's egg does. Murky's egg is literally, put the egg down here. Now you get a 5-second respawn timer. You're immortal for all intents and purposes. You just have to walk back from your egg. And if the enemy team destroys the egg, then you get a full timer. And I was like, Murky's egg does a better job of capturing the Lich, mechanically speaking, than Kel'Thuzad, the Lich. He's not the Lich King, but the Lich
man.
Guy from
Lich man.
Vertical Man.
Right.
From you know, and I was like, oh, Murky's the Lich.
Yeah.
Like Murky's phylactery is way better than Kel'Thuzad.
Okay, so yeah, your theory is if the phylactery worked the way it should, then obviously Murky is some sort of Lich. But since it doesn't work that way, Murky just happens to have a thing that you think is better suited for Kel'Thuzad or characters like that. And I'm going to say this. While I don't think Murky is a Lich King, or a Lich rather, I think I agree with you. I think that would have been a cooler mechanic for a trait. Having said that, though, wouldn't we be in this position now if this was the case where everybody would be, maybe us included, criticizing Kel'Thuzad for basically having Murky's trait? Do you know what I'm saying?
Like the design space is filled up, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the part they're not showing you in those sweet new development videos is the like, knuckles on table meeting where one guy was like, no, we have to change Murky to make Kel'Thuzad fit in the game. They're like, can you come to our office for a disciplinary action on your attitude or whatever? You know, like, we need to work together. Can't be combative in those team meetings. He's like, don't put that in the development video. I don't think it'll play well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a design space eaten up by it. Although, you know, we said we have, you know, skins that look like other characters, and then we got the characters like Amazon. So
yeah.
I don't know that they couldn't have done both. I'm not sure that I think they could have had Murky as is and Kel'Thuzad with a deeper phylactery.
Well,
mechanic.
I hate to speak for everybody, but it feels like his Kel'Thuzad's trait is pretty boring. Like, there's nothing fancy happening there. It's a build a thing up, and then it's better. And then when it's not, it's not. And when it is, it is. And in a way, it's like anybody else who has a get somebody to a higher level so that they can do a thing. And that's fine, and it's functional, and it's mechanical, and all of that stuff's great. But it doesn't really inspire any new ideas from a trait perspective. Now, how that trait behaves with his actual kit, that's obviously what matters on the ground. And so we'll see. So, John, I'm curious if you have any thoughts about this, either this trait or this Murky business.
Well, I read Bo's thoughts. He outlined it very specifically in our show notes, and he laid out the full thought process. We even got the shower details included in there. And, you know, when you read someone speaking passionately about something they care a great deal about and going into great detail about theories and putting their heart out there, I had to do the same. And so I've come to the conclusion that Bo needs more sleep.
Like, that needs to be a new mechanic for me?
Yeah. It's your new it's your new trait, Bo. You just fall asleep like a what are they called? Narcolepsy people? Narcolepsy?
Narcolepsy. you one of them narcolepties?
Yeah, he's a narcolepsy. So, we need to see him in actual play, but right now I'm not inspired by his trait. Sometimes I get excited about traits, like trying to think of who here lately. Yeah, well, even like in the case of Garrosh, it was sort of exciting to think about how additional armor was going to work as he took more damage. Like, that's an interesting idea. Now, in actual practice, it's maybe not any more exciting than anyone else's trait. I like active traits. I like traits I can fire off. You know, I like to give people the D, if you know what I'm saying. I should stop saying words like that because we got this awesome tweet today from this father of a 10-year-old who's like, my son loves Core so much. He's playing Heroes like crazy. And he just loves listening to the show. And I'm like, oh, phylactery this and give me the D that. I got to slow down
yeah,
on that
yeah,
stuff.
His dad's going to tell him, time to do the dishes, son. He's going to be like, you better shut up, dad, or I'm going to give you the D.
I'm going to give you that D, like, dad.
What?
What's the matter? I learned it from Core, dad. I learned it from Core.
Core told me, and D is for dishes.
D is for dishes. That's right. So anyway, point is, I like them when they're active. I like to be Malfurion and hit D and know that that means I got to target somebody and give them some mana. Like, it's a this helpful thing. And I wish more characters had that. So, you know, if wishes were dishes, then we'd all have a D, or however the old phrase goes, right?
Yes.
something like perfect. That.
That's my new house words.
Yeah. If wishes were dishes, we'd all have a D. But anyway, so... point being, he's coming out, we're getting him, there's general excitement, I think, about him between the three of us, but, you know, again, his trait maybe leaves a little something to be desired. You guys have actually messed with him, though. I'd love to get impressions. I haven't had time. I've barely been home and trying to catch up and stuff, so there hasn't been a lot of time, although I did play some games yesterday, which was great. We won more than we lost, and just felt really good, those games, for whatever reason. And we'll play some more tonight, see how that goes, but impressions. John, what did you think of Kel'Thuzad, the new KT, as he's known by many?
Well, I want to say, big disclaimer before I give my full opinions, I do not have a ton of experience with him. I played a couple games on the PTR. And the other thing I want to say is this PTR, based on who they have done reworks for and who people are picking as a result, is not the best place to get a true feel for the hero, right. I don't think.
Right.
You are not getting a good comp when people are queuing up with all the people who got reworks and whatnot. You're getting a very weird thing, especially for Kel'Thuzad. Mm. So that said, I did not love him. I think he's very cool. I think he's got some of the best animations in the game. But it feels like you have to work super hard to get base level value out of him. Mm. Like, he's powerful, but I felt like I had to put in so much thought and work into the abilities that I was using that even when it all went off correctly, I was like, okay, yeah, that seemed powerful. But it didn't seem any more powerful than if I put in slightly less work with a Chromie or slightly less work with a Jaina. Mm. It felt on par with them. And as a result, it didn't really wow me as a result. But I do need to play him with a more coordinated team in an actual setting where we're doing drafts and things like that. I think it's going to be messy for a bit, but I think people who can get over the skill gap are going to really like him. He is a hard character to play, though. Okay. I would say he's up there with Medivh.
Oh, really? That's way up there. Bo, do you agree? Is he Medivh material?
That's hard. I guess we're not going to talk about the thing that happened, though, John. We weren't in.
Oh, no, we can talk about the thing that happened if you want to talk.
So I was just screwing around in PTR. We didn't end up being on voice comms. I just felt like being in there, and you know, everyone clambered on in to try Kel'Thuzad. And part of the reason you say it was hard to gauge that is that let's talk about an element of our heroes community that we don't want to talk about because it brings out the worst. It's those soulless, misguided people who play characters like Nova and Zeratul when they don't have any changes on the PTR. So what are you doing? Mm. What are you doing? Mm. Why are you in there? So we had a game, and I think it was 52 kills the other team, and we maybe got one, maybe two, and the Zeratul was fed and was just killing all of our mages. And as John pointed out, you know, everyone's playing Chromie. It's a Chromie rework. Everyone's playing Jaina. Everyone's playing Morales. There's a Leo hanging around, but he doesn't really die. So, like, the matches have been really bad to try. Like, if you're going into PTR to get a good Kel'Thuzad experience, it's like, it's not happening. Mm. And then the team is usually filled out by a person who wasn't raised right, playing Nova or Zeratul or some other cheap-ass character that has no changes in the PTR.
Yeah.
You're dicks! And like, I get the appeal of doing it, but it's not good.
I agree. I hate it. I can't freaking stand that. So
I mean, Bo is not wrong. I mean, like, first of all, hey, we got a salty Bo. That's impressive.
I'm not salty about it. This is
no, but you have every right to be, because it's one thing of like, oh, we played bad or we had a bad comp, and as a result, they had more kills than we did. We had a really hard game. They were not only B-stepping after they killed us, but they refused to finish the game. We only lost the game because minions eventually were attacking the core and minions killed the core. They were just farming kills the entire game.
No, the Zeratul was farming kills. Mm. The Zeratul had gathering power, was at 50%. Everyone on my team, like I was playing Leoric and I wasn't on comms, and I'd just be like, all right, I'm going over here. I'm positioning. My team will follow me. Bing, ding, ding. And they're all dead again. And I'm like, these guys are dying so much. And I'm like, well, what are they going to do? A bunch of mages versus Zeratul.
Yeah.
And they're playing new characters, trying new things out, not trying so hard. So
that's why I don't spend a lot of time in the PTR. I'll get there and check something out and try it and mess with it a little. Well, but I am not interested in games.
That's after you've waited 20 minutes, by the way.
Oh, really? For a game?
Yeah. 20-minute queues with Kelsey's on.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot, dude. I don't think I could do that. That's a whole game that I could have played. I mean, I'll get in, I'll do try mode, I'll get out, and I'll log back into normal. And I feel bad about that sometimes. I feel like I should be more of a tester guy, you know? Like, hey, Blizzard, I'm going to take some time to help test this because you've given us such rad access to the PTR and let everybody install that if they desire. I ought to be in there helping you out. And then I just kind of don't. I always feel a little bad about it.
I have a few little pointers for you so that you're ready when you do get to try him. Uh-huh. Things that you expect to work that don't work that aren't in the video.
Oh,
all right. One is chains of Kel'Thuzad. You wrap a guy in your chains and then you stick it on another guy. You stick it on a structure,
mm-hmm.
brings them together and stuns them. Doesn't work on your own structures. So when Z'Gar comes in by herself and mows down your front wall and you're thinking, I know what I'll do. I'll chain her and I'll target my own tower. Put them together and get my combo off. Can't do it.
Really?
She can't do anything.
Is that yeah? Is that has anybody responded to that? That feels like a goof. That doesn't feel right.
I don't know, but I was just purposely firing it off to try and hook people into allied structures. Didn't seem to be a thing that I was able to do. So I was like, that felt really bad, and I hope that's not intended, because how am I supposed to use my ability to defend if a solo pusher comes down the lane? The other thing, too, I think I already mentioned, is the quest talent it's not good. It's really underwhelming. It's really not fun. Yeah. It's just not fun. Talents are a fun way to customize your character and get those things. That being the big takeaway, it's just more damage. At basically, at 11 minutes, you get more damage. Well, it's really not fun.
It doesn't even feel like a bonus. Like, you're supposed to feel like it's a bonus, right? Like, oh, this is my cool thing. It feels like a get good meter. Like, this is what you have to hit to get good. If you're not doing it, everybody please yell at your Kel'Thuzad. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh yeah, finally I'm a superpower. It's not like Butcher hitting his stacks, right? Like, then he feels superpowered. It feels like, oh, okay, now I'm a hero. Like, I've achieved the level that I needed to be a hero. I've made it, and now I'm here.
And do you think that's going to frustrate people? Like, what do you think the response to that's going to be? Because if all you're telling me is the new KT, or maybe the original KT, I don't know, whatever he is.
Vertical Man.
If Vertical Man comes out and people feel like he's underpowered until he hits his trait goals, then that's not gonna feel good, because all you're doing is then saying, well, now he's on par with everybody else. Like, up till now he's a squishy mess, but now that he's hit his thing, well, look out, because now he's normal. Not better, just normal. That's what I keep hearing from not just this conversation, but stuff I read on Reddit and some other things. So there's a little concern there. Do you guys share that? Are you worried that people are gonna, I don't know, is that gonna feel bad?
I think he's going to be, again, like, I could be wrong, but I think he's going to go down the road of Medivh. I think he is going to be for certain players, and they're going to excel and do magical things with him, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to make us all wish we could be as good a Kel'Thuzad as they are. But I don't think he's going to be for everybody. And I expect he's going to probably have a super high learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for a lot of us, I think we are going to look at it and get frustrated and be like, man, if I don't hit that, I'm not even good, and this character sucks, and he needs to be buffed. But I think he's probably where he needs to be for those players, because I think the players that are going to put in that time and effort are going to be so good that if they buffed him, he would be ridiculous for them. So I do think there's a balance there that I think he's ultimately just not going to be a character for me, maybe.
Mm. All right. Here's what else we know about the PTR where Kel'Thuzad is currently residing. Chromie's getting some big changes. Morales getting major changes. The Orc getting changes everybody's raving about. And I keep hearing that Jayne is good. Her changes are good, but people are on the fence as to whether she's better than she used to be or if there's any real reason to make this, the changes she's had. So let's talk about those guys for a second. You guys were worried about Chromie last week. Are you still worried about her? Have you had a chance to poke at her a little bit?
I'm not worried anymore.
Okay. She's
I didn't play her, but I've played against her a lot on the PTR and or had one on my team. She seems plenty fine.
Okay.
She's good. She's still good. And I took the time to get better with her while I was messing with it. And yeah, she's great.
Yeah. And is all the praise in Leoric's direction?
Oh my god.
Right? Yes. Okay. Leoric is so good right now.
All right.
Like I expect some changes to be like nerf style changes to be incoming. They did like the Drain Hope build is no longer a thing. So if you're doing that in Garden of Terror, it's no longer like a, you know, you pick up all the W talents on him, but there's an auto attack build at I think 16 where every time you hit a minion or a hero, you increase your attack speed permanently up to 50%.
Oh my gosh.
So by the end, you're just pounding things like super high speed. Like it's, I was like, what is this doing on Leoric? It's cool. It's really neat. There's a lot of interesting things there that I still have yet to discover.
Okay.
He was the most fun out of all the reworks that I tried.
Really? All right. I need to... Yeah. I feel like I never really gave Leoric the time he deserved. I just don't play him. So I need to maybe now. Maybe now's the time.
He's like the first character where the little, like, pick a talent pops up and I get giddy. I'm like, I'm going to pick a talent. It's going to be great. Like, it's fun. I like all of his talents so much. I mean, some of them are, you know, circumstantial and whatnot, but it feels so good. I really liked my time with new Leoric.
Yeah. All right. So Leoric's pretty good. I hear good things about the Jayne changes. I'm a little nervous about those because I play her a lot and I don't know, whatever. I haven't had a chance to look at
her Q build is still the best way to go. I'm going to throw it out there constantly. I could be wrong, but looking at all the changes, there's now some cool stuff in her kit for sure that maybe you'll be more likely to take, but I still think the Q build is the best way to go with Jayne.
The Ice Lance build? I never do that with her. Like, I never do an Ice Lance build. So you're telling me I want to now, is what you're saying.
I'm telling you, you wanted to before, and you probably will want to now.
I never liked it. It's such a little weenie shot. It's just like a little, I hate that thing.
We're old school Jayne players, Scott, where we just like, we pump everything into our Blizzard and Kona Cold combo and MLG. MLG a clutch burst on the entire enemy team, but the meta has shifted a bit, and she's fallen out, so I think people that are surviving with her are doing the Q build. I've heard a lot of praise, but I can't do it either. Every time I play Jayne, I'm like, oh, I should pick a Q talent. I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's a boring, it's just a, it's poopy. It's poopy is what I'm saying. we talked about Kel'Thuzad.
Should we talk about Morales? We didn't talk her, your other love that got major changes.
So I haven't played with her at all. Like, again, I haven't had time. I just got home. Where are we with her? What's her deal? What changed? I know we talked about what changed, but how does she feel? Has anybody played her?
I played her finally today.
Okay. How'd that go for you? What'd you think?
I've heard a lot of people saying she's bad now and not good. I don't think it's as bad as I've maybe heard from some other people, but it's definitely different.
So she's still got that pump that stuff into you for a time, or not a timer, but until her energy's out, because she's got energy, not mana now. She walks away. That recharges over whatever it is, 3 seconds, a lifetime in hero's time. And then
it's even worse than that. And I think that's the biggest problem. So I think ultimately what is going to happen with Morales is she's going to get buffed. And I would expect this to be a kit that gets buffed and she'll be in a good place. My biggest problem, and Scott, tell me if this gives you gas. So you heal somebody. Yeah. Let's say you use all your energy because you had to heal them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want your energy to come back.
Yeah.
You have to disable your beam.
Yeah, so D.
Then there is a 3-second delay before energy will even start regenerating. Then it regenerates at the same rate you spend it.
Oh.
So it's a 3-second delay before it even comes back, and then it takes just as long to get back to 100% as it did to spend it all in the first place.
Okay, that's what happened.
Okay.
It gave me gas, like you
there
said.
Was like a, there's like reverb on that.
I know.
Was that, in a, like a... was that in a sound booth or like a small recording room?
There you go. It's a better one. I mean, look, I don't, like reworks don't scare me as much as they used to. Although I hate Thralls. I can't stand playing Thrall now. I know that that's a minority opinion, but Thrall became such a quest monster that it pushed me away from him. Whereas before I really liked him. In fact, he was my gateway drug into this game. The time where I really found my love for the game was through Thrall. Now I can't even touch him. So I should be maybe more nervous than I am. But most of the time I get excited about these things. I hear they're going to make big changes and I go, all right, I'm all in. Let's see what you can do. And I'm going to have that attitude about her until I get, you know, some time with her. But hearing that makes me nervous. I want Morales to be one of my go-to healers. And that sounds like she might not be for a while, or maybe... I don't know. I don't know what it means. I need to play with her, obviously.
I'll tell you, the level 20, I tested it in the try mode. Did you take the level 20, the layover, the United Flights layover?
Mm-hmm. I didn't take any ever medevac.
So the way that actually works is that you get a second button, kind of like how Emerald Dream now, when you could take Astral Communion, you get a second button on one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you can use the regular ultimate. For a full 60-second cooldown. Oh, no, it reduces the cooldown to 30 seconds. So medevac is now 30 seconds. Or you get a second button on one or wherever on your hotkey that instead of you becoming the medevac,
yeah,
the medevac goes to Hall of Storms and flies to your position. It marks the position you are when you cast it. So basically, let's say you're Morales, you're by yourself, and you're going to sneak the core, so you're in some vent near the core on a Battlefield of Eternity,
mm-hmm,
and everyone else is, you know, backing or respawning. You can call United Airlines, and they'll set up a flight from the Hall of Storms all the way to Morales, and then you can all get caught up and coordinated. I think it's an interest. I think that was like the most interesting talent I saw on her, and I'm excited to use that one on like Cursed Hollow or something.
Yeah, it's a bummer can't get to 20, but yeah, go ahead, John.
It seems pretty good. And I will say this, the redeeming qualities that I saw with Morales is she does get a lot of talents that regen energy based on other things she's doing. And you don't lose energy while people are at full health. So you can still just drop your Q on somebody and just leave it there. And if she needs healing, because she only gets healing back if she's queuing somebody, it does not use energy if your target's at full health and she's healing off of it. So... that's another nice little thing. And so what you do is you take talents where if you auto attack, you get energy back. If you safeguard, you can get energy back. If you grenade, you can get energy back, stuff like that. And while you're in the fight, as long as you're participating and not just trying to be a heal beam in the back, you will passively regenerate energy and sustain how long you can shoot the beam for.
Okay, so it's just a more active maintenance thing, and I actually think I like it better than Mana. Mana never seemed right with her anyway. It always felt jammed in as her power source, and I like when Blizzard experiments with things outside of the mana go-to. So all of that is interesting to me. Can you tell me, now that her couples therapy is basically baked in,
yeah,
is that noticeable early in the game? Can you tell that that's happening? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can tell. It doesn't feel as substantial as it did before, but you can, if you've lost a little bit of health, you're like, all right, well, I'll just queue a minion or another hero and I'll just be back up at full health. Like, you feel like you have a way to take care of yourself, basically.
All right, I'm down with that. Always take care of yourself and then those who are next to you. Like in a real flight, you're supposed to use the oxygen mask first on yourself and then use it on the kid who's dying next to you, right?
Right.
I mean, sitting next to you, not dying next to you. Jeez.
If the kid's dying, Scott, it's too late for the oxygen mask.
Yeah, don't give it to the kid. Just leave him to die.
Yeah, if he's dying, may as well use it on those who are living. All right, so that's that. What about this loot box? What do you guys hoping? What do you guys hope opens for loot boxes and things? What do you want out of this patch?
Definitely Dreadlord Jaina.
Yeah, I do too.
Definitely. And that's the other ones.
That's a legendary, right? I assume
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, okay. I think there's like 500 different tents. So if you have your heart,
approximately,
if you're lucky enough to get a Dreadlord Jaina, don't have your heart set on one color scheme, because 2.0 is also, you know, heralded a new dawn of loot boxes and a structure to get skins, which is great, but also added like a real bummer when you open that legendary and you get green Diablo.
Yeah, it's Tent City for sure. And here's the thing about 2.0. It wasn't so obvious at the beginning of the launch of 2.0, but it has become more and more obvious as new heroes have hit. I've noticed when they do, they've got way more alternate tents than they used to. And that makes sense from a quantity sort of, we need a lot of things in these boxes to be rolling for people. And I totally appreciate that. But at the same time, you kind of realize, oh, that's how they'll fill this up, is it won't be unique skins as much as it will be tents of those existing skins. And I think I'm okay with it, but it is an interesting way for them to sort of create filler.
Yeah, but my opinion is it needs a solve, because I got a Grosh skin, I think. Mm-hmm. And I already have the base Mad Axe one, but I got one, and even it was just like, oh, this is a tint I'll never use. I think it was the blue one. I didn't like it. It would be nice if you could spend gold on a token to change a tint one time within 24 hours of opening a skin, like something like that. So you have to have resources, but like, as a regular customer who plays every day or who's spending money on loot boxes, please don't burn my legendary luck and getting the skin I want on a tint I don't want, especially if you're going to start adding 7, 8, 9, 10 tints. You can't assume everyone's going to like the same tints. And I think it's a feel bad moment when someone finally gets something that they don't get the tint they want.
Yeah.
I think it's a problem. I think they fix it that way.
It's a different sort of beast, but I actually kind of feel like we need a new rarity category, because I feel like legendary is incredibly overstocked with items. Like, when you get a legendary, you should feel like, man, I'm about to get something awesome. And legendary covers a lot of things. Like, almost any hero, not any hero, but a lot of heroes are considered legendary for just getting the hero themselves. Then a lot of skins, every version and tint of that same skin is considered a legendary. Oddly enough, the new Spider Queen Zagara that they put in, which I think is one of the cooler Zagara skins, not legendary, but her Desert Queen one, which doesn't look nearly as cool, is still considered a legendary. Yeah. Like, it just feels like it's a space that's maybe a little too full for how rare it is to get a legendary item. I kind of wish there was maybe another tier that they could put in there somewhere, because I feel like there is stuff that should be dropping with more frequency that just isn't.
There's probably a functional way they could do this, where once you get one of them, of the tints, let's say there's 20 of a legendary skin, but they're all just different tints of the same skin. You get one tint and that's your legendary. And now the math changes for you. So this have to be on an individual basis. But basically the math would now say, all right, well, he's got the one. Now, anytime another tint comes around, he's more likely to get those, or they won't, or they're automatically cheaper for shards or something, because you've got one base one and then the rest of them can just sort of fall in line. I don't know if there's a way to make one of those like the ultimate one, the way it was for Tychus's tight wiener one. That one was like the one you had to have, right? You had to have the one where the little tiny tight specific color Speedo one. And then if you got the ones with shorts and stuff, those were basically tents, even though they were different, but they were a lot more common. So why not have one that's like the maximum one? And if you get that one, then all the rest of them become either easier to get or less expensive to buy. I feel like a dynamic system that would change based on what you've already got would be another way to maybe approach this. So
yeah, anyway. I think that's a cool idea too. But I will say this one additional thing, kind of going back to Jaina a little bit, is sometimes they do really cool things with color variations. So this patch, expansion, whatever you want to call it, is adding post-Theramore Jaina. And okay, most of us don't like her as much as we liked Happy Jaina, but one of the color variations of post-Theramore Jaina is Warcraft 3 Jaina.
Yeah.
And it looks really good. And they took this moment to say, ah, we're doing new skins. Here's a color variation of this. Oh, let's just make it its own lore thing. And so now they have Warcraft 3 Jaina in their game, and I would probably alternate between Dreadlord and that skin because I like it so much.
Yeah, I think I would too. Yeah, we'll see.
A quick question before we move on, because we're talking about skins. Are any of you guys using the loadout system?
For the characters? Yeah. I tweak them a lot of times in real time while we're waiting for queues and stuff, but I use the loadout system.
But you have like the save macros? Yeah. Okay. I haven't been using it at all. I was just wondering if anyone else was.
I have some. I haven't been like meticulous with every character I play, but you know, some here and there.
I was trying to save them, and then occasionally it's just like, oh no, I'm in the mood to match with my friends, and all of a sudden the one that's called purple I'm green in, and I'm just like, well, I ruined it.
Yeah,
it's all ruined now.
Yeah,
so
I do that too. The only risk in that is, you know, a match will start, either you're delaying the match because you're not readied up, or you're doing it while you're all ready and then the match starts and it doesn't take any of your changes, and I don't know, it's kind of frustrating. But yeah, I use it on some. I just get, like, I went crazy for about a week and a half, 2 weeks there, where all I wanted anyone to ride was the Mad Max bike from the Garage release. And that's all I wanted forever. And it didn't matter how dumb the character looked in it, freaking Murky riding it, whoever, it doesn't matter, every time. And then I hit a wall and went, all right, I have seen that enough, and started changing it more, you know, more frequently. So anyway, like last night, I don't even think I pulled it out at all. That sounded wrong. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. you guys watched this Kel'Thuzad video series yet? The Resurrecting Kel'Thuzad. They started the video series. It's basically like a behind the scenes, you know, what is their approach from concept to completion with this character. There's part one and two are now out. Part three is coming when? Next? They've been doing it on Thursdays?
Came out today. I just forgot to put the link in.
Okay, so it's a Thursday's deal then, and it's done, I guess. Or no, part four is still coming, right? Isn't there part four?
Yeah, I think it might even go up to five. So I think we're going to see videos probably until release day.
Okay.
Probably maybe none over the weekend.
Part three came out today. Part three got released today. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't seen part three either. It's good, but I know Bo was joking when he said this, but I kind of agree with Bo. I kind of want to see like the hard-hitting fights over the character.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to judge anybody and be like, oh, this dev's totally out of line. But like, I want to see someone speak very passionately about a Kel'Thuzad thing that didn't get put in the game. It's a like, I love it, but it's a little cleaned up, it feels.
Yeah, it's a little sanitized for sure.
It's reality. Basically, it's reality TV editing for the most part.
Yeah.
Which means the goal is obfuscation. Even though I think the spirit of the thing is right, we wanted to show people stuff.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
I think a little controversy never hurts. It's like a little salt on your meat. There, you know, you want to just kind of get a little bit in there. To me, it's like what's it like in the early seasons of MythBusters? You may remember this, but in the early, like, first two, maybe even three seasons of MythBusters, they would often showcase, like, shouting matches and disagreements between Jamie and Adam, the two hosts of the show. And they would really go after each other, and it was always over a creative decision or whatever. And I found that really interesting. Mm-hmm. They changed that, though, and quit showing those at all. And so from a certain, I don't remember the point, but a certain point on, never showed any disagreement. But in a recent interview with Adam Savage, he says, oh, we fought all the time, constantly, and didn't really like each other very much. And you never got to see that seasons 3 through 10 or whatever. And something gets lost when you do that, to me. Like, I don't want it to be constant bickering or anything, but it becomes less real when you're not showing how you got there. And sometimes getting there is fought hard, you know, it's a hard fight to get to where you want to get. So if they're cutting some of that out for this, that's unfortunate, because I would like to see. I mean, you don't have to show us all your dirty laundry, Blizzard, but you're already a company that kind of puts the best spin on every possible view. And for the most part, you totally earn that. But it wouldn't hurt if we got to see a passionate dev really fighting for a character trait that didn't get in, and what that process was, and maybe even how that person came around to agree in the end. Like, that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, I think that's true of everything. I think, you know, we want to see how the sausage gets made, and we live in a streaming culture. Like, think about taking the temperature on gaming culture. It's very much live streamed. It's very much 24/7. Someone's playing a game somewhere that you can watch. So do we watch reality TV and think, oh man, that really speaks to me? It's like, you need to put that camera on in a boardroom and have people talk about stuff and go through it and redact anything you have to for, you know, cause it will be edited, but we would applaud more seeing how the sausage gets made instead of telling us how the sausage gets made, because
yeah,
I mean, it's just our culture now. And it's not alone. I wouldn't say it's Blizzard alone that's guilty of that. I'm trying to think of any larger company that would do anything to divulge freely its secrets and methods so that other companies could get it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the concern is.
I mean, there's two biggest problems with reality television of any kind is that they are swinging too far in one direction or the other. Either it's made up drama for the sake of drama, and that's all they do, you know, Housewives or wherever, freaking Jersey Shore or whatever. It's just constantly digging up poop or making up poop so it looks like there's always poop and that someone's a villain and whatever. And then there's the other side, which is completely sanitized up so that it looks like nothing, everything's perfect and everyone gets along. We're just asking for something like right down the center, like the truth maybe. Truth would be good. Just like, and I'm not saying they're lying to us. This is very different. This is like how it's made documentary style, and it's fine for them to do whatever they want, and it's their company and they should. But I wouldn't mind seeing the process from that angle, because I know it exists. I mean, they don't live in, you know, some freaking Tron room in space where all the rules are different. They're like us. They have disagreements. They have concerns. One guy didn't show up that day, and like stuff happens.
I guarantee you somebody must have said something about this questing talent of Kel'Thuzad's.
Yeah.
If you're out there, just send me a secret sparrow. I won't release your name.
A secret sparrow?
I've been watching lots of Game of Thrones, okay? Send me a raven. I'll make sure to burn the message before anyone else can see it. I won't even tell these guys. Just tell me.
The one I'll send you is called the Three-Eyed Raven, and he's more of a Google than a person. You can ask.
I just want to say, Scott, you looked beautiful in your wedding dress. On your wedding night.
He's like ask Jeeves, but you never asked him, but he tells you anyway.
Yeah.
That's what that kid is now. Anyway, moving on. BlizzPlanet interviewed Kyle Dates and Alan DeBerry. This was at Gamescom, and it's pretty interesting. Alan DeBerry mentions in the interview that the team will be slowing down the pace of hero releases in the future, something we've talked about and discussed on the show. As to whether they would, or if they would, when they would. And this is probably something that we'll see eventually. We don't know what that means. They didn't give a date. They didn't say when that slowdown would happen. But I think probably makes sense at this stage that we would see them a little less often than every 3 weeks. What that probably also means is that they've had a list, like a rapid-fire list of heroes already in the can. Not finished, but kind of like all their hot prospects in a big whiteboard or something somewhere, and they're like, we are going to do these every 3 weeks until these are all done, and they just may be getting to the end of that list and moving to some other list which is a little bit slower of a process, or they don't need to be as rapid fire because now the meta and I guess the choices on the whole are much stronger than they've ever been. What are we at now? What's the total?
No, 60 or 70, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Any surprises about that? To me, it doesn't seem too crazy.
I was surprised that they said it. I didn't think they were going to slow down. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking they had to slow down, and they never did. And so I was like, oh man, Captain Adab saying we have to slow down.
I'm shocked. I wasn't necessarily surprised. I think it's probably a little too early right now. Mm. I think we are probably getting close, but I don't think we're necessarily there yet. Although they might have already technically slowed down, because for a while there, it was literally 3 weeks from hero to hero release.
Yeah.
Now I feel like it's 3 weeks from hero to PTR and then fourth week is hero release. Mm. I could be maybe keeping bad track of everything, but I think that sounds right to me.
Yeah, no, I feel like maybe you're right. We'd have to look at the previous schedule and see maybe how it's spread out or whatever. And there's certainly been times where there's a break, you know. It's not like it's been every 3 weeks since the beginning without fail. So whether they are slowing now or will eventually, they didn't even specify what slowing meant. It could mean one hero a month. So buying themselves an extra development week, for 52 weeks of the year. That's not that big a change for us in terms of expectation or what that actually does to the game. But to them, that may be a huge savings of time or a big shift in production. So I feel like while it was a little, not shocking, but a little surprising to hear them say this, there's so little tied to it in terms of details that it probably isn't going to make that big of a practical difference to us, at least for a while. I can tell you this, I don't think they ever get to a place, well, maybe they do one day, but they're never going to get to a place soon where they're like Dota and League and it's like 7 months, sometimes a year between a new character coming out, or 3 months or every two quarters or whatever. I don't think we ever get to that slow of a pace. So I'm not that worried about it.
I think one of the things we might see, because Heroes is a faster paced launch cycle, is I don't know if they ever get to hero relaunches. Mm-hmm. How many people are buying Vala these days?
Right.
But they still might be trying to attract new players.
They should be buying Vala.
I'm just saying it's not unheard of in other MOBAs for existing old heroes to just be completely launched with all brand new art, a hero launch. So they take an existing slot in their game and revitalize sales from reworking something in their roster.
Yeah.
Rather than launch a new hero. I don't know if we're going to start seeing stuff like, we get reworks, but I'm talking even beyond reworks. Like, it feels like a brand new launch.
Like a reinvention of a hero. Has that ever happened in League? Because League's got the same sort of price structure as we do here. Okay, interesting.
In fact, like the slow hero release, because they have like a fairly large roster, the slow hero release rate means I think they do one or two a year of like top billing, huge launches. I remember I was around for the Scion launch. Mm-hmm. And he was just completely different from, like, he looked like a CGA sprite in League to a, at the time, contemporary release. Mm. But his pricing was still the same and he had new skins and lots of stuff to sell with it. So, and I had another thought with all this too. I think this is a good point. We're 4 months. I just looked up the launch date of Heroes of the Storm 2.0. It's April 25th. Mm. So that's roughly 4 months we've been since Heroes 2.0. They must be now having meetings to discuss the financial impact of what 2.0 has had on the success of the game, mm-hmm. and what that means for the production pipeline. I think there's a crossroads somewhere near in the future that may also say, and we're not making as much money as we thought, and that's why we're slowing down hero releases too. Mm. Like, if they're keeping a tight production schedule, that might mean the reallocation of resources.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. Be very curious about that, because they basically,
I feel like it was successful.
Yeah. They created a surge of focus and they went crazy. I mean, I love it. I loved it when 2.0 was coming, then came, and then has been since, because it feels like even after a WoW launch, a new patch like this, I still see more of my friends and heroes than I do anywhere else. And there could be some sampling bias in there, given how much heroes I play now. But, you know, like, I feel like the effect was a really strong positive one. The question is, what standards were they aiming for? And were those standards like, we want to be 75% as big as League by this time next year? Or was it something more reasonable? I don't know. So, but I think you're probably right. In fact, I'm sure those meetings are always happening about all their games. And Heroes especially, given its market position. So, anyway. That's fascinating.
I wonder.
What else? They also took to Twitter during Gamescom. That was nice. Get all kinds of stuff from him via that. And he would do little videos, which were really cool. I don't know who's in charge of those over there, but that was an awesome idea. Says a few things here. Team is working on new matchmaking system right now. A new matchmaking system right now. Think about those words I just said. They are working on a new matchmaking system. What the hell could that even mean? Like, complete redo? Complete change? Like, what is that, in your mind, John, mean when he says we're making a new matchmaking system? And is the current one so broken that you have to go from the ground up and make something new?
It's hard to tell, because what does he mean? Does he mean we're completely redoing it from the ground up, or does he mean, hey, we've added a new matchmaking rule that we think is going to be really exciting? You will now no longer see stealth heroes. They're just going to play each other all day. What fun that'll be. We don't know. Like, it could be very, very big. It could be very, very small. He talked about it in a way that sounded like he was very hyped and excited for it. So I would like to believe that it's something really cool. But we'll have to see. I keep waiting for a big season update. Every time we get to a new season in the game, I keep thinking, all right, they're going to do another big revamp of how seasons work, because I still don't think they've exactly nailed that, at least for what I would like to see. And we get a little changes here and there, but I would not be surprised if something hits there in a big way at some point.
They also said more events coming this year. What do you think that means, Bo? Like, more... I mean, this one was a little disappointing because we didn't get a map. We all thought we were going to get one. Do you think that kind of events where there's characters, maps, nice little video to introduce it all, or are you thinking more like 2.0 level, massive, you know, who knows, 3.0 style events?
Yeah, I think we've got events 2.0 with the release of patch 2.0.
Yeah.
Because I remember last week I said I'm expecting a map. Mm. I said there's no event like this without a map. But after we did the show, I remembered Suns Out, Guns Out was an event with no map.
Mm.
There was the pool party map, but brawls don't count.
No.
They might have made it. No, it doesn't count. It wasn't what I meant.
Right.
So I think probably you're looking at it. There's a hero release, an event with it, which is a little marketing thing that we have here. Maybe some crossover with another game. No, I would say actually confidently event does not mean maps or any substantive content beyond a hero and a skin.
Or you could do a map event. You could do an event around a map release, but that's the event. Like, in other words,
yeah. Like the baseline is a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree with that. And maybe the baseline for a future event is the map release, but it's not like every event needs to be two heroes in a map. Like, that, they're not going to do that. I can't imagine them doing that anymore. They say roles are getting refined. Or more redefined. They're redefining them. I assume that means no longer, what do we have, 4 categories now? Like, it'll probably be more than that. Probably like we've all suspected for a long time that they might be doing that. So,
yeah, and they actually, when we were at the media summit, they talked a little bit about why it's so difficult to do this is because it impacts outside of the game. Like, their entire website is built around presenting these heroes to people in that way. It impacts fan stuff. It impacts API that they're hopefully going to release themselves. There's just a lot of stuff that it can impact. And so they said they're getting their ducks in a row before they do it.
That's a good idea. Ducks should be in a row, those little bastards. And then there's Greymane. Gilneas Pete, as we call him. He's getting some skin love, according to one of the tweets. I don't know what that means. but he'll be getting something. I mean, I guess it's been a while. What's it? The last one was like him as a lion tamer or whatever. So
yeah, his shitty lion skin.
Yeah,
a lot of people take that. I shouldn't call it the shitty lion skin. I see it a lot, but I don't like it at all.
It was his launch skin, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
What have we had since then? Oh yeah. Then? We had nothing. Nothing really then. Okay. Well, that's why they're saying, I guess he's going to get some skin love.
Well, because I guess they kind of have to do two for him, right?
Yeah.
Like, he has to get two every time they want to do a skin. So that's a little rough, unless he's just going to be like, here's a Frankenstein that turns into a werewolf, and we just reuse the werewolf. So, yeah, he's probably due. Don't make him a shitty lion.
No.
I don't like the lion.
No lion man anymore. Also, there's a place in Vegas I know where you can get some good skin love. Just saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Moving on. Twitch.
A lion, no less.
From a lion. A big white tiger, actually. That's how it is in place.
Oh, okay.
The Twitch Cheer Rewards are live. That's a thing. All rewards from the HGC Twitch Cheer Rewards are now available. Remember that in order to get them, you need to visit the Twitch page and actually redeem each reward. You guys done that? Is that a thing you did? I didn't do that.
I don't think either of you guys cheered. No. So I don't think you have anything to redeem.
No, I don't have anything. I don't know. This stuff's not It's not for me as much.
I found out how to do it. I remember when we talked about this, I said I'm young enough to cheer, but too old to figure out what to do after that. I found out. Somebody told me. So I have gone through and redeemed all my rewards.
Good job. So. You're a Twitch expert now.
I'm basically a millennial now. I actually am literally a millennial.
Yeah, you are. You're in the range, right?
Yeah.
That's true. You're a dirty millennial. That's what I'd call you.
Yep.
The brawl this week is called Dodge Brawl, where he uses the pool party pool map. So there's that 5v5 chromy map where you take turns blasting each other with sand and dodging. What'd you think, John? Did you play it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a nice little change. It takes a little too long. I think it could be shorter, but I think it's a cool concept, and I'm glad they're making brawls like that. They should do more brawls like that.
Yeah. Well, we said back when the pool thing was happening with Stitches, we said, well, this is a cool map. I hope they do something with it again. And here they are doing it. So got our wish.
Yeah. Signify the end of summer. Yeah. I just want to remind everybody we're getting to the end of summer.
Yeah. Summer's ending. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, it's over today. It's the 31st. Goodbye, summer. It was nice knowing you.
This is the best time of the year for me. Everybody gets real sad, but I get so happy.
I get excited because we get rad falls up here, like colorful, awesome, crispy night air fall. I love it. So I'm excited. I like fall. But then snow falls like in November and I want to shoot a dog, but I won't. I won't shoot
a dog.
I know. I'm just telling you what the snow makes me want to do, not that I do it.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Besides, I'll be at BlizzCon in like early November and it will make me forget about that for a while. So it's fine. What else? Quiz Thuzad. Oh, hold on. I know this borrows from a thing we already use, but I don't care. Here's this. Whoops. Hold on. Here it is. Yeah. John, explain this. What is this?
Well, hello, everybody. John here, your second favorite game show host. And I'm here with a quiz. Because, hey, last time when we talked about, what's his pants? Who was it? Who was the last hero? Garrosh, that's who it was.
Oh.
People really liked that they got a little bit of lore as you guys gave me incorrect answers to a bunch of questions. Mm. So we're going to do it again, but we're going to do it a little bit different. There's a sweet graphic, really advanced high-level graphic showing up for the chat and video benefit.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a core race. How does that sound to everybody?
Sounds great. Can it be like that one we had last week where we were at 1% and they barely got it because their Malfurion was a jerk? Can we do it like that? All right.
It could be like that. It depends entirely on how good or bad you guys are at trivia.
All right.
Can you describe what we're looking at visually for the audio listeners and for me?
Right now we're looking at two cores very far apart.
Yeah.
Lots of lanes. And the idea right now, because we want to keep the number small because nobody likes overly long trivia, we basically have 5 HP on each one of the cores. And so here's the way the game's going to work. First things first, you guys are going to roll for initiative. Whoever wins gets to pick whether or not they want to answer a question first or second. If you're good at trivia, going first, I'll just give you a hint right off the bat, is the best way to go, because you'll then pick a category. I will ask you a question. If you get the answer correct, you do damage to your opponent's core. If you get the answer incorrect, they do damage to your core. It's okay. That simple.
Repeat something someone in the chat room said because it made me laugh? Free Hotel Room is the name in the chat. It says, could someone have spent less time creating something in a Microsoft Excel knockoff?
No, I could have only spent John. Less time, but these kinds of graphics don't come cheap or easy.
Yeah, plus we're prototyping here. It's fine. We actually have, between you and me, we have the wherewithal to make visually whatever, and with Bo in there, we could make audio things that would be amazing. Like, if this turns out to be the greatest thing ever, trust me, we have what we would need to take this to the next level. But like Hearthstone, it started out as some crappy Flash thing with blocks that represented things. That's all we're starting with. So give us a break. It's a prototype. This is meeting number one. We're presenting it to the board. It's all going to be good.
Yeah, first of all, you're a hotel room that's free, so your standard quality is questionable to begin with. Second of all, I'm sorry I didn't take the time to program this in Flash for our fun 10-minute quiz show that we decided to do one time this week. So, now that we've addressed the chat, all right, I forgot to bring my dice, so it's going to just be a 50-50 heads or tails. Scott, call it in the air.
All right, the tails.
Tails it is. All Scott, right. Do you want to answer first, or do you want Bo to answer first?
I want Bo to answer first. It's like telling which team to kick off in a football game. I like this.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. It's strategy. Mm-hmm. You're putting your faith that Bo's going to get a wrong answer. I like it.
Yeah.
So, Bo, there are three categories you can choose from. Mm-hmm. First category is Life's a Lich, Then You Die. This is Kel'Thuzad lore. The second one is Death Breath. It is voice and line trivia.
Oh, that's and, like a Tanta Putty Tad, but in your game.
Sort of. You'll see how it's different. And then there's Skeletal Stuff, which is a really great category, and it has no meaning at all because it's miscellaneous.
All right.
I'm curious about Skeletal Stuff.
All
right. I'd like to try me some Skeletal Stuff.
All right. Perfect. Question number one. A silly meme has cropped up around Kel'Thuzad that involves citing all his various titles. Which of the following is not an actual title included in the meme? Hearthstone Enthusiast, Creator of the Abomination, Archmage of Dalaran, or Commander of the Dread Necropolis?
Archmage of Dalaran?
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
Bo, you deal damage to Scott's core.
Damn. Oh, look at that. It's like a little life bar. This is like an Atari 2600. I love this.
So, Scott, now it's your turn. Okay. Pick a category.
I'm going to go with Death. Let's do Death Breath, the voice and lines thing.
Okay. In theory, and with a little modulation, I should technically be able to do a sweet Kel'Thuzad impression. Right. This is because he is traditionally voiced by Michael McConaughey, or McConaughey. I don't
know Michael McConaughey!
Hey, look, it's a hard name to say. It's spelled very weird.
Hey, I'm McWalkin' here. I'm from Coney Island. I'm McWalkin' here. I don't know.
Michael McConaughey. Okay. I'm going to say Michael McConaughey.
All right. McConaughey.
Which other major lore character does he voice that I'm likely to impersonate?
Oh. Who is... come to the Blizzard store. Freaking, who is that guy? Arthas. Who is Uther? Uther.
I counted. He That's said correct. Arthas.
I said half the word.
I heard Uther.
Yeah, I said I
heard
Uther.
I don't know. I heard Arthur.
I said, who's R? I mean, Uther. There you go.
Look, guys, I'm very excited that you guys have gotten two trivia questions right. I'm very proud of you both. Bo, right. It's your turn. Pick a category, please.
Skeletal stuff. Again.
All right, what is the name of the ability / status effect in Heroes that appears in Kel'Thuzad's sight description but is not actually on his kit? So we talked about this last week. There's an error on the website.
Is it sight as in S-I-G-H-T? Sight description?
No, site, website.
Oh, on his website.
S-I-T-E. Yeah, on his personal website.
Yeah,
he's got an old it's a live journal.
My website, catfancy.com.
It's a Tumblr, dude.
It's not the pyroblast one. It's the other one, the blah with the chains that go up.
Blah.
What is like? Is it Frozen Tomb?
That's correct.
Oh my god.
Good job. That is damage to Scott's
What's
core.
The other one, though? I was worried. Did I get the what it's called or what's wrong with it?
You got the right name. They say this will also trigger on enemies affected by Frozen Tomb, but the move is called Frost Blast.
All right, nicely done.
So right, Scott, Frozen Tomb sounds cooler, and they decided to go with generic Frost Blast as the name.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Scott, it's your turn to pick a category.
Okay. I have an idea for these visuals. Category. Let's do, you know what? Skeletal. Actually, Death Breath voice line thing again. Let's do that.
Okay. Kel'Thuzad typically keeps his cool, but what action can you take to make him say, "No, a curse upon you, interlopers! The armies of the Lich King will hunt you down! You will not escape your fate!"
And am I the... It's me controlling the mouse during this? Like, it's, I'm controlling him?
This is something you can do in any Blizzard property to make Kel'Thuzad say that. What is the action you must take to hear that line of dialogue? This is not Heroes exclusive.
Click him more than 3 times.
That is incorrect. That's damage to your core.
Damn it.
The correct answer is kill Mr. Bigglesworth.
Oh, shit! The stupid cat! Ah, I freaking forgot about the cat. Dumb cat. There.
Perfect. Bo, pick your category, please.
I'm doing well with skeletal stuff. So... Let's try a life's the lich and then you die.
I look all like right. I'm running out of mana. Bo looks like he's running out of life. I love this. It's like a
I know, it's totally Diablo style. That's not how cores work.
Yeah. Like I'm the bad guy. I have the red life bar.
Yeah.
Bo, you're doing the lore one, right? Life's a lich.
Life's a lich, and then you die.
Which character is responsible for killing Kel'Thuzad in his human form originally?
Oh. I don't know. Nedric.
That's surprisingly incorrect. Man, that was such a good guess, Bo. But no, it's actually Arthas that killed him.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I actually knew that.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah. It's Warcraft.
This was when
thing.
He was still a good guy.
Sure.
That's fine.
Did you take
a chunk of... Kel'Thuzad was a good guy?
Did you take...
No, Arthas was a good guy.
Yeah, Arthas is a good guy. Did you take a chunk of his hoo-ha off there? His bread
I
there?
Did.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I got the Ramsay Bolton.
And no, it is, I just got that, and that's rough.
Yeah.
Scott, it is your turn to pick a category.
Okay, I want to pick, what have we not done? Let's do Life's a Lich also, I want to do that.
Okay.
And then you die, yeah.
The resurrection of Kel'Thuzad would have long-lasting consequences. This is largely because of how he was brought back to life. What is the source of power his remains were put into that brought Kel'Thuzad back as the Lich we know and love?
Well, my answer would definitely not be the Herodric Cube. Wrong game.
Yep, good.
Put his essence into... Oh, shit. Was it in the sword, Arthas's sword?
No, that is not correct.
Damn it.
The answer is the Sunwell.
Ah, the frickin' Sunwell! The other KT, I should have thought of that. Ugh, frick. Alright.
It'll get you every time.
Yep.
Bo, you have a chance to win here. Scott's got 1 HP left on his core. You have 3. What is your category?
Let's go with skeletal stuff because that's where I get questions right.
All right, this is the last question in skeletal stuff. Kel'Thuzad has now appeared in 4 Blizzard titles. What 4 titles has he appeared in?
As a character, 4 titles?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, I mean, including Heroes of the Storm, because I'm going to say Heroes of the Storm.
Okay.
He's technically appeared in the PTR. I don't know if you're going to try and trick me. He's in Hearthstone.
Hearthstone.
Yep.
Hearthstone.
Yeah.
He's in that there World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Do I need the expansion title?
No.
No, it's fine. No.
He's in vanilla, right?
Well,
didn't Max originally come out in the original vanilla?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. So I've got 3.
Yes. No.
Yep.
Yes.
What's the other one?
Boy,
Warcraft that's 3, for you to tell it's me. Just, do I have to say Warcraft 3 The Frozen Throne or Warcraft 3? Because I don't know.
You can just say Warcraft 3.
Okay, Warcraft 3.
And that is correct.
Damn it!
Bo has destroyed Scott's core. and he has won the base race.
I have a mastery of skeletons.
Yeah, you.
That's the category I answered right in.
You did really well. I really, I have, John, I'd love this, and I have an idea for future graphics that would then that would please the freaking hotel guy to no end. So we'll talk about it. That was awesome, and also, Bo, well done. You only lost two on your core. I feel like an idiot for my poor performance, but nonetheless, to lose to you was a real honor. So thank you for that.
It was an honor meeting you in battle, sir.
And a privilege. We have an email to read before we get out of here. These emails come to us at core@heroesforyou.com. Hi, Scott, Bo, and John. Says Philip. His name is Philip.
Hello.
Been enjoying your show a lot. Came here via Kyle Ferguson of that other podcast. And really like the variety and fun in your conversations. Also, the intro is an absolute blast every time. Well, Bo deserves all the credit for that. He does a killer job.
Kyle does another podcast?
Yeah, there's a not he. I don't just pet him. He has a show as well that he does.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it's Into the Nexus. I like that we're dancing around it. Like, I can't be on a Coke commercial and talk about Pepsi.
Oh, yeah.
I have to call it the other guy.
Yeah, I'm happy to call that out. It's called Into the Nexus. He does it with Garrett Weinzierl, the only one. We're not talking about those Zord weirdos. We're not talking about them today. But Kyle Ferguson. Just kidding. Anyway, so I was listening to the latest episode where you were talking about Gamescom, which I just visited yesterday, so he was actually out there. I wanted to point something out in fairness, for fairness sake. While I have to agree that Team Expert is kind of a pretentious name, they are actually named after their German sponsor company, which is running a chain of electronic retail stores. So now Expert makes a bit more sense, maybe. And there's a logo here they've given us. Let me, since I have video, I can show the chat here. Hold on. Yeah, there you go. All right, pulling that up. There it is. See that? Expert Electronics is a German thing. And I did not know that. I don't think any of us knew that, right?
No, so that's, I did not know that.
So that's an interesting bit of data. It says, anyways, have fun and GGs. Gamescom was an absolute blast. I saw Pally Time and played on a stream versus Chew8.
Yep.
The guy who went, hello, YouTube.
Oh, yeah, he's the YouTube guy. Clip. I like that you use him as a clip.
Oh, I didn't know that was the same guy.
This Chew8 fellow.
Oh, yeah, I've got him for two clips. Hold on, I've got this one.
Hello, YouTube.
There's that one. And,
But how?
No.
Monday.
No.
What's going?
Yeah, that's it.
What's going on?
I need to. need to label those. Anyway, so as a German HOTS fan, it was an absolutely amazing experience. By the way, he says Chew8 lost three random games for whatever reason. Hope you set the record straight on naming Team Expert. While I am a big fan of Dig, I think Expert deserves some love. Cheers, Philip.
Yeah, I will absolutely take back, even though I wasn't the one who said it, that Expert is a pretentious name for a Heroes team. It is now a pretentious name for an electronics store.
Yeah,
I'm gonna double down the other way and say it makes it even worse. This is problem with esports is they got a brand. Let's pick on Roll20 for a second,
okay?
Because I like what they do. I think they made a bad decision here.
Yeah.
Okay. When I cheer for a team, I don't want to also be promoting a company's interests. Mm. I want companies to cater to me. And in catering to me, they cater to themselves. So I don't want to be in there spending my cheers on a company or going, yeah, Roll20, because that makes me feel cheated. I want to vote for something I feel I can be a part of and not that I'm advertising while concurrently doing it. So the fact is, I thought they were called Team Expert because they thought they were the best players of the game, which was pretentious enough and frustrating. But the fact that it's now a German electronic brand is way worse. So, but again, that's me and my team name hipsterism. I don't like sponsored team names, and I think esports needs to do away with this practice.
All right.
I don't want to cheer for Lantronics. Or Lantronics eSport. Like, what's next? You know, Huggies Diapers eSports? I don't want that.
Huggies?
Stop.
What would they be called? The absorbent ones? Like, what would we call
them? I don't know. They have to be called Huggies eSports because that's the whole thing is that it's the company brand on the team name.
So
I'd love to be cheer for the disposable ones.
Right. I mean, That's pretty good. No. So I think I agree with you. What they're doing is they're taking on the stadium system right now. So right now, if there's a stadium, it's not named, you know, they no longer say Fenway Park or freaking whatever. It's always like CNET, or not CNET, you know, Staples Center, or here in Salt Lake City, it's the some home security company. So it's, what's it called?
Oh, you were telling us Consumer Electronics Show Arena or something.
Yeah, it's like that kind of thing, but it's a company name. So if it's Kellogg's Arena or freaking whatever, like they all do it, Verizon Stadium. And I kind of hate that. And when it changes hands, they change the name and it becomes whatever. It used to be the Delta Center here. It's when Delta, the airline, was sponsoring it. And they quit doing that. And it bugged everybody because we were so used to saying Delta Center. But that kind of worked because it rolled off the tongue. Delta's, you know, this common old school word. But when you start calling it the Vivint Home, the Vivint Smart Home Arena, that makes me want to kick things in testicles hard. I hate it. But, so what they've done is they've done that instead. I wish what they'd do is do what it seems like may happen with Overwatch, although we don't know for sure with some of the big city teams, but do it like you do with regular sports. Like it's the, you know, Detroit Red Wings, or it's the freaking Chicago Bulls, or whatever. They're not, you know, the Chicago Dodge Vipers. Like that would be
no, shit. No, like, because in the point is like, I agree with you on the stadium name.
Yeah.
But I find it in the climate we live in somehow forgivable. But the team name, teams just don't belong to the teams. Teams belong to the culture of people that are fans.
Yeah.
And when you call it something that I'm not a part of, I don't want to be a part of it. And I think that's an obstacle for everyone. Yeah. I think it's a bad practice for teams to be doing that.
All right.
I guess all I have to say to that, I mean, Bo's very counter culture sometimes, but I will just say this. I have, because until a team gets sponsored, they get to pick their own names. And based on what teams have picked in the past, they don't deserve picking their own names. They're not that good. Team Expert's better than half the names they pick anyway.
Yeah.
So I just.
You don't like Niventic?
Niventic isn't a name they picked. No. That was a sponsored name.
Yeah. Oh,
They're Lag F.
Yeah. Lag F is like, terrible. That's a stupid name, don't you think?
I agree. I agree that them picking their own names is oftentimes worse. But then you get a team like Zealots.
Yeah.
I hope there's not a German electronics company called Zealots. I like to think that they named themselves after the Protoss unit, and I'm like, that's a cool name. That's really cool. Like this, I'd love a jersey with a zealot on it saying they're from France, aren't they? So it'd be the le Zealot de Paris, and that would be the
no. They're just jersey, the zealot. They're just the zealots, or is that that'd be Germany, wouldn't it?
I think it's Zello.
Zello? Hey, Zello. Oui, oui, poo-poo.
Zello Paris?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Patrick said, he sent me a call and explained this. Let me play it for you. This is what Patrick Beja says it means.
Or ho, ho, ho.
Okay. I don't think that's very good either.
I think you need to check your facts there, Patrick.
Patrick, get on that, buddy. Anyway, thanks for the email. We appreciate it. These are good, interesting points of view, and we love getting them. CoreHeroesForYou.com is the email address. You're going to want to use that on the frequent and get in touch with us. We'll read them right here on the show. Speaking of which, it's going to do it for today's show. HeroesForYou.com is our website. You can find that there, and all the links you need are right there. If you're looking for us on Twitter, find the show at Core Heroes, me at Scott Johnson, Bo at Bo Schwartz, and John at John _ Jagger. That's J-A-G-G-E-R, like Mick Jagger, only...
That's not the part people have a hard time spelling.
Oh, it's the J-O-N part. Yeah, there's no H. There's no H in the John. Exactly, that's a good point. CoreHeroesForYou.com, once again, is the email address. That twill do it for us. Thank you all for listening, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next week.
I'm Diablo, I don't like your face.